Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
One final thing before we invite Pastor David to come and share God's word with us today. Every first Saturday of the month, we have healing rooms right here at this church. And honestly, we have seen hundreds and hundreds of miracles and people healed. We see it all the time. People sometimes go, oh, how come there's no miracles happening? I'm thinking, what church do you go to? Because we're seeing miracles happen all the time. So here's what I'd love to do. I'd love to invite Pastor Aaron to come and talk to us even about what happened yesterday in this place and what's been happening in healing rooms.
Morning, church. I'm actually going to sublet this space. I'm actually going to get, if Joel Voigt is here, would you come and join me on platform, Joel? And Alicia Williams, would you come and join me too? It's always good to hear a testimony from the horse's mouth, right? Yes, Joel, Alicia, and Alyssa Attard as well, if you're here. Can you come and join me? Yes, some of them I told, some of them I didn't tell. Got to be ready to have a reason, eh? All right, so we had testimonies, we had healing rooms and testimonies happen yesterday. So the great thing I love about Jesus the healer is that he acts in a billion different ways to do the same thing. And we had a lady who actually came in with glaucoma and one of her eyes was a little bit blurry. Anyway, she just came in and was like soaking in the sanctuary. And before anyone prayed for her or anything else happened, the Lord just ministered to her directly. And as she was just sitting in worship, her blurry vision became unblurred. Praise God. Then she also had leg and foot pain, and when she went and received some ministry from the team, that completely left her. She also had some inner healing done. She had trauma from an event that had happened in her life, and she said that she felt completely free from that trauma. Amen. I feel like there's a little more. So another guy came, he had pain in his calf muscle for 2 years. His family was there to support him as well, so they actually got to witness what happened. One of the team started to pray and he said, I saw a runner, and he saw the Isaiah 40, 31 scripture. It says, they will run and not grow weary. As they declared that scripture, the pain left his calf. Amen. Oh my goodness, there's so many different things that happened. One of our team, it's winter guys, so people are sick, we've got coughs and colds and all the things. And one of our team came to serve in healing rooms and they themselves were a little bit sick. And just as they were preparing, one of the other team prayed for them, and they had congestion, like couldn't breathe out of their nose. And as they were prayed for, they themselves got healed serving in healing rooms, praise God. So then the team went out. One of the ladies went out of here after she'd finished serving and was parked on the street, went to get her car, and she walked past this lady whose child was crying and looked quite upset. Anyway, she asked the lady if she needed some help. I love it when we're the hands and feet of Jesus outside the church. And she asked if the baby had been unwell. She asked if she could pray for the child, and she started praying for the baby. And as soon as she prayed for the baby stopped crying and seemed a lot better. And then the mum says, like, wow, that like seems to have done the trick. She seems to be a lot better. So I love that healing rooms flows out of this building into the community as well. So maybe Alicia, you can just share a little bit about what happened to you at healing rooms and how the Lord healed you while you were serving.
So I had come, and the night before I was just coughing. I had this post cough, and so I was coughing and I was like losing my voice, and I was like, okay, like we gotta minister tomorrow. So like I was just praying and asking people to pray for my voice. And anyways, I came to healing rooms and it was still not great, like praying and having to stop and cough and take a cough drop, and you know, it wasn't great. But we were packing up the chairs and I was just talking to Nikki, and then she just goes, you know what? She just lays a hand on me, and as we're packing up the chairs, she just gives a short little prayer, and then I was healed right there in that second. And my voice is completely healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Stacking the chairs.
Stacking
Amen. It's so good. Thank you. The awesome thing that we're also seeing, thank you so much, you can sit down. The awesome thing we're seeing is like obviously healing happening in as we gather as a community of faith, but also it going out into the community everywhere. So we had one lady who was just sharing with me the other week, she might even be here, just how the Lord had healed her 3 times of cancer, which in itself is like such a phenomenal testimony. And she was just sharing that as she was sharing this with a friend of hers who was Jewish, he sort of asked if he could come to church. Can I just take a little pause and say, I love that Pastor Raph led us in that moment of prayer, because there, in the atmosphere, there is a little bit of discouragement. There is a little bit, you know, of almost like negativity, but please church, like open, I would love us to open our eyes and see God is doing so much. He is doing so much. I literally feel like it's just like testimony after testimony of people being able to pray for people, people leading people to the Lord, people being healed. I've never in all my years of following the Lord, never seen it like this. So I just want to exhort us to like lift our eyes and truly see what God is doing. Because they're like, the enemy would love to discourage us, but God is doing so much more, so much more. Okay, sorry, stop preaching, Aaron. So she was sharing with this friend of hers, and he was Jewish, and she had reconnected, and anyway, was sharing the story, and he asked if he could come to church with her. So he came one weekend and someone gave a word of knowledge from platform that there was an organ. God wanted to give a new organ. That's a big step of faith. Give a new organ. So this gentleman turned to the friend and said, do you think that could be for me? And she turned back and said, I don't know, like, do you need a new organ? She had no idea. Knew he was unwell, but didn't know the details. So he said, yeah, like I've been given a terminal diagnosis. If I do not get a new organ, like I'm not going to live for much longer. She said, yeah, absolutely. This is for you. This is totally for you. Puts his hand up and all of us, the body of Christ, everyone, gathered around and prayed for this gentleman. And as they were praying, he had a monitor for this organ that was monitoring like it, how it was functioning. The monitor short circuits while people are praying, right? It's like, this has never happened. This monitor has never stopped working. Anyway, goes back to the doctor to get a checkup done, and literally has gone from like under 10% of function to the doctor saying like, you may not even need a new organ. Like this just may get better. Like you're being healed. Praise God. That led this gentleman to the point of acknowledging that Yahweh is still alive today, praise God, and that he is still working today. So saved, healed, delivered, praise God, praise God. Okay, but there's more, there's still more. There's still more. As I was saying, this has gone out like the testimony of the lady who prayed for the baby, but there's more happening, and I feel something so significant happened on Thursday when Alyssa and Jack were just praying and walking the streets and found a gentleman who, I love it, because when you told me this story, you were like, oh, I kind of felt drawn to him, but I was like, ah. And that's so much like, ah. On the other side, there's often a miracle, like that little is the step in. So why don't you tell us what happened with someone?
Sure. So yeah, Jack and I were out on streets on Thursday with NSOS. And yeah, it was the first block like walk for the day, which is usually like ripping a band-aid off. It's the hardest part. We had this tug of war in our spirit, and a friend called across the street and saw us and was like, are you gonna, because we both noticed, and I was like, okay. So we ran back to chat to this lovely man out the front of some housing commission near Victoria Street. And we just started conversation and just kind of checked in with him, loved on him, got to talking. He sat down and we asked him, hey, what happened to your leg? And he said, I've had a spinal injury and I'm paralyzed on the right side from my waist down, except for one part of my leg, and I'm in a lot of pain. I have to drag my leg along. And we just spoke to what Jesus' heart was for that. And we just kind of injected some hope and just heard a bit of his journey. We prayed for him right then and there, and the Lord was just washing over him with his love. And he just was like, oh my gosh, like my cousin prays for me. I've been staying with him. I haven't been able to see my children. They're stuck overseas. I haven't worked in a year. I have no hope. Like, and we were like just talking about community. We got to talking and he's like, I don't think there's any churches in Richmond. And I was like, this is so great. So we just explained wrote it down in his phone and just got him connected. He might even be here today. I don't know. Dane, if you're here, you can...
Welcome.
Welcome, Isaiah, Dane. So we got them plugged in and you could just see he was like, oh my gosh, like community. And then he didn't have a Bible as well. So Jack was so beautiful. And Jack has such a precious Bible. Every time he opens it, it's like the most beautiful, sacred thing. And he said, you can have my Bible. He pulled it out of his jacket and handed him his Bible, and that was the moment for this man. He just started to cry, and he was like, you don't know what this means to me. I'm so broken. And he's just been searching for the Lord. He's like, nobody's spoken to me about this. And he received it, and then we were like, hey, just spoke to what Jesus was saying over him, and we just laid hands on him. He just leant into my hand, and there was just something just lifted, and just the love of God. Just, oh man. Yeah, you can praise Jesus. It was wild. And he was just drinking in so deep. It was like the Lord had not only restored his hope, but community, but also, and so, yeah, we get to the end of this conversation and I was like, Dane, test out your leg. Like I believe Jesus healed you. And he's like, oh, okay. He gets to stand up and he's just like, oh my gosh, he starts shaking. I'm shaking right now. He was shaking and he's like, there's no way. Wow. And he's moving his leg. Wow. And he gets healed. Wow. He's like, so he still had a slight range of mobility struggle, but overall, and another guy's walking past, he knows him from Housing Commission, and he's like, what the heck is going on? And he's like, they prayed for me, and I was like, it was Jesus. And he's like, Jesus healed my leg. And he's like, he's just testifying. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was like Jesus just delivered his life back to him in that moment just because of obedience. We nearly walked straight past him. So he might be coming in today. Just, you never know who you're talking to. So please just love on the people around you. But praise Jesus. That was wild.
I think that's enough. I just want to say, like, that God is really, truly doing so much. He really is truly doing so much. I can't seem to walk a minute without someone sharing a testimony. And I just want to thank everyone for their prayers and praying. Like, we are a praying church. And the reason why our city is seeing things happen like this, the reason why we are seeing miracles, signs and wonders break out, why we're seeing so many people come to know the Lord, is because of obedience, like Lisa was saying, and prayer. So yeah, thank you for praying.
so good. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, look, last Sunday I had a couple come up to me. They've been trying to have a baby for 11 years and the lady doesn't have certain parts that really should make this happen, but they were pregnant because the church prayed and they're pregnant. Just God, just beautiful God. Hey, who's ready for the word of God? Absolutely. Hey, I'd love for us to be upstanding and to welcome Pastor David Hickman as he comes to bring God's word to us.
Can we just thank the Lord for a moment? I know we're a praying church, but it's because of who He is and what His nature that He breaks out, He busts out. So God, we thank You for who You are. We honour You in this place. You are our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our source of life. God, we magnify You right now and we choose to put adoration on our lips. We glorify You in this place. We magnify You. It's only because of You that we are here where we are right now. And so, God, we thank You. 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 Come on, thank Him. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for who He is. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, turn around. Love two people. Take your seat. Love three if you must. God is so good. If you have your Bible, open to John chapter 4. And just before, I want to kind of reiterate a little bit about what Pastor Raph has said too, but along with what he was sort of saying about treasures in darkness, I also kind of get a sense that a key to that and the phrase I got is it's okay to daydream. I used to get in trouble all the time in class for daydreaming in class, but it's actually okay to dream with God. When you're in the midst of stuff, dream with Him. Just have a daydream anytime. You're allowed to. You have full permission to have a daydream with Him and dream with Him and get His perspective. He often says, hey, come up here. Let me show you things from my perspective. So I just want to release that over you again. Dream, 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 dream. It's so good. Hey, last week we started our series called Win Our World, and Pastor Cherie preached an amazing message. Not just a great message, but actually deposited a partner grace and a gift of who she is to us. And I encourage you, if you did not see that or listen to that, please jump on our podcast or our YouTube channel and listen to that because it will do something for you. It really shifted an area of my heart towards the lost and towards actually the purpose of being a believer actually is. And I said this in our first service this morning. I really do think at times we undervalue the God deposit that's on each human being. And because of offense or disagreement, we find it easy to discard the person without actually recognizing that God has actually placed something within them that will unlock an aspect of who God is over your life. In fact, some of the most powerful encounters that I have personally had have been not when my spiritual leader or my spiritual father has prayed for me. It's been through an awareness and a seeing God is doing something on that person. Hey, can you pray for me? And so can I encourage us, even when you get frustrated or annoyed with a particular person for whatever reason, can we do what Aaron was even encouraging us about? Let's not get discouraged, but look at what, God, what is it that you've placed within them? What is the thing that you've placed and birthed within them? Because that's what I want on my life. And so anyway, this series really birthed out of a place of like, we had conference and conference was a glorious place where God really came and fell and we had a meeting and an encounter with Him. But here's sometimes the problem is that we turn a God encounter into a feel-good moment. And we look for feel-good moments rather than encounters that lead to a transformation. You see, when God comes and invades a room and encounters you, He encounters you to do stuff within you. But that's not the end of the story. Because He's placed a deposit within you that He actually wants to get out of you into the world around about you. In other words, you turn a God encounter into a feel-good moment when nothing changes post the moment. And we can actually become, we can change our behavior to fit a group of people because God is moving, I shaked, rattled and rolled, but actually over time, nothing actually changed. So this whole birthing of this is really what God has started, let it actually impact the community and the world that you go in. It needs to infect every part of society. I've been burning with this for a long time that I love the local church. I am who I am today because of mothers and fathers and a community of people that encouraged me, that edified me, that built me up. I love the local church. However, the problem is when the local church stays within its own four walls, it misses the very purpose of which it was created for. If Pneuma Church ceased to exist, my question is this, would anybody around about us actually go, where did that church go? Like if we packed up and went somewhere else, would the community actually go, oh my goodness, we have just lost the heartbeat, the very vital thing that we need? That is what God called His body to do. Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. In other words, the world is desperate, is thirsty, is parched just for something that's real. You know, I've been watching a lot of the Olympics as it's been going on, and there's been lots of things that have happening. And what's interesting to me is even how conversations that I'm having where people cannot believe what's actually going on at the moment. I'm like, it's because you haven't tasted and seen of a God who loves you and will satisfy the very thing and the need that you have in your life. Oh, there is a world out there that is so deeply desiring to encounter something that's real. And so we as the church must go from the temple of God, go into our very calling, our streets, our schools, our neighborhoods, wherever it is that you are called to be and where you are right now, to actually freely distribute this thing called living water. An encounter with Jesus. A person who is real, who died, who conquered sin and death and yet rose again and said, through me is the way back to God the Father. Through me is through relationship. Through me and me alone, everything, every knee will bow. Every circumstance will come into nothing, into dust because of what I've done. This is what the world is searching for. And so we need to be those that actually stand up and recognize the thing that we have. The person that we have, the life that we have now found in Jesus. For too long, the church has hindered back, has stepped back because other people have said things and accused things. And yet we get so concerned about what we're not instead of the very person that we have inside of us. Oh, there needs to come a boldness back upon us. Not an arrogance, a boldness. And so this whole series is really to help give us some tools and strategies that as we go into our workplace, we can actually transform and see God move. We are already hearing testimonies of people encountering the Lord in workplaces, in cars, in all sorts of places of life. Oh, let it multiply and go gangbusters. Let it move, let it go, as Elsa would say. We're going to look at this story in John chapter 4, and I'm not going to read it all because it's quite a lengthy piece of passage, but in John chapter 4, Jesus has just finished ministering in a particular place and seeing people saved and baptized, and he hears that the Pharisees are a little bit upset, so they set off and they start to head to their next assignment. They pass into the place of Samaria where Jacob had built a well, and the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like one another and there was some offense there, but Jesus comes along, he sits at a well. His disciples go into the town to go and get some food, some lunch, which I'm really looking forward to after this service. And so they go into there and Jesus finds himself wearied and tired. He's sitting there and then a woman comes up and says, and Jesus asks, hey, could you get me some water? And this woman says, hey, you're not supposed to be talking to me. Our two cultures, that we don't talk. We don't connect. What are you asking me of? And in this encounter, she meets the very Messiah she's heard about. Jesus says, give me a drink. And this lady goes on and says, hang on. Jesus goes on to say, if you would drink from me and if you ask me for a cup, I would give you living water that you would thirst no longer. And this woman's kind of a bit confused. Is this metaphoric? Is this literal? God, you haven't even got a jar to draw water from. Don't you know who made this well? It's our father Jacob, and this is our thing. And Jesus kind of goes on and invites her into a moment where all of a sudden she realizes, hang on, could this be the Christ? Jesus goes on to say, hey, if you drink of me, you will have living water. And she's like, okay, give me some of that water. And she said, and Jesus goes, okay, go get your husband. She says, well, that's a bit of a problem. I don't have a husband. Jesus says, that's your right. He reads her mail. He says, you've had five husbands and the man that you're with right now is not your husband. All of a sudden, the jar drops. She recognizes, How could you know that? Maybe you're a prophet. And Jesus reveals himself and says, the very person that you've heard about, Christ, I am he. She runs back to her town, runs back to her community, totally forgetting about the water that she was there to get in the first place, and starts to testify of who she's just met. Goes on to say that then people in that community come rushing out and meet with Jesus, and they sit with him for two more days, and many believe, the Bible says. This story is such a picture of what the church is called to do. That the church comes into God's house, has a meeting with him, realizes who he is, understands what he's done for him, and then takes that good news and goes and declares it to every single person around about them. This is actually what we're called to do. What I find interesting about this story, and there's some things that we can take away from this, is to understand that sometimes in our busyness of life, in our priorities in life, we forget what the main thing is and the importance of coming back to the main thing. I love what Jesus says in verse 34. We're going to read this out in John 4, 34. It says, Jesus said to them, being his disciples. His disciples have just come back. They've gotten lunch. They're trying to encourage Jesus to have some food. And Jesus has another reply where he says earlier in verse 31, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And they go, hang on, who's given him food? What, like, did someone give him a meal that no one knows? Why didn't anyone tell us? Like, we were here, that's our job, that's my thing. Jesus goes on to say in verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his works. What's Jesus doing here? Jesus is using the practical analogy of food and how it sustains our physical body to actually speak to a spiritual perspective and priority that actually the purpose for me being here today is not just to do my will, but actually to do the will of the one who sent me. Let me put it like this, is that we are sustained by doing his will. See, for many of us, we think that certain outcomes are going to give us satisfaction. If I just get the right kind of job, if I meet the right people, if I marry the right person, if I get in the right social group, if I get the right house, whatever it may be, we think that those things will satisfy, and they may satisfy for a season, but ultimately it will leave you dry and parched. Parched is your word for today. It will leave you thirsty. It will leave you empty. Why? Because the only thing that satisfies, even Jesus, the Son of God, who ultimately was called to go to a cross, to die for you and I an excruciating pain, yet said, I am sustained by the very will that my Father says to me. He says in another part, I do nothing but what he tells me to do. My question to you today is, what's your priority? What have you built your life? What are you trying to find sustenance from? Oh, is it actually that, Lord, you are leading my life, you are guiding my life? And hear me when I say this, like, I understand, well, I enjoy things. There is nothing wrong with things. The problem with things is the priority that they have in your life. I enjoy playing golf so much so that I brought my golf clubs with me. And I have friends who I've played golf with who actually do this for a living. And I have been on the phone to them many times saying, Dave, I don't know what it is. This wasn't what I thought it would be. It's literally like airport, plane, hotel, golf course. Hotel, airport, plane, hotel, golf course. I don't even know if this is worth it. What is it? It's like they've built their entire life on something that is not supposed to sustain us. And yet, here comes Jesus with living water, and he says, if you would just taste of me, you would be satisfied. You would be satisfied. Oh, would we be those people that would carry living water? Would we be those that John talks about in 7, that rivers of living water will flow out of us? That we would actually be the channel, the pipeline at which heaven can invade earth, not just in the church, but everywhere we go. In our supermarkets, in your workplace, everywhere we go. Oh, that we would be those kind of people. Jesus says that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus' own satisfaction in life was to listen and to obey. How many times have you and I heard the Lord speak and it's often been inconvenient? Is it just me? What I have had to learn is that actually I need to be ready in every season, in every moment. I have to be ready at all times. Because what I have found is oftentimes God likes to interrupt my day at the most inappropriate time. I'm on the way to a meeting. God says, hey, I need you to speak to that person. God, I'm going to be late. And look, you said be a man of your word. So maybe for you it's different seasons, different times, where all of a sudden you're like, oh, but I'm just trying to get this. God goes, no. I need this. This is actually my will that I need you to fulfill right now. When I was 18, we were in Adelaide for a youth conference, and we went to the supermarket to go get some food and kind of stock up where we were going to be because we were there for the week. And so we were in the supermarket, and I'm going through kind of getting all the lollies and the chocolate, all the important things for when you're away. And as I head out of the aisle, I see an old lady wheeling what somebody told me now in the first service is called a Jeep. I said it was like a velvet little bag thing. It's not, but apparently it's called a Jeep. So anyway, she's carrying this and rolling around, and the Lord says to me, follow her. I'm like, God, that's creepy. Right? So I start to follow her, and she pulls up into the pet food section. So she pulls up in the pet food section, and all of a sudden she starts to pull in all of these cans, like can after can of cat food, and puts in. I'm like, okay, she's obviously got a lot of cats. And anyway, I follow her all the way to the register. I've got my kind of sugar rush with me, and so I put mine on. She's just in front of me, and the lady says, hi, how are you going? And this lady, old lady, looks a little bit upset and a little bit thing, and not super happy. She says, oh yeah, I'm okay, and starts doing all of the tins of cat food. And the lady in the checkout said the same thing, oh, you must have a lot of cats. And I said to her, I said, oh yeah, you must have a lot of cats. And she goes, oh no, that's not for me. Unfortunately, I just can't afford regular food. You have those moments where you're like, you're such a loser, David. Like, how could you be so, whatever. I felt so bad. All of a sudden, the Lord says to me, hey, Dave, just take her shopping. And so I said, hey, we'll save that. Why don't you come with me? Let's go. What would you like? So I take her down a few aisles, go back, and we get back to the register, and it pulls up, and she says to me, oh, I can't afford this. I said, no. Louise, how are we going to afford this? No. I said, no, I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to pay for it for you. She broke down crying. I got an opportunity just to share how God loves her and that how he pointed her out to me long before she even knew. See, sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's messy. But when you're obedient, it opens up a vortex. I don't know any other way to say it, like a vortex where heaven invades earth, where heaven just comes down and says, hey, I've got more than enough, and I want to show the love that I have towards every single person. You know, I tell that one story. Can I be really honest? There's probably three others where I've heard the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, not today. Because I'm a real human being, right? I have real insecurities. I have real fears. I have real things where I'm like, oh, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? Can I tell you that as you step out, it's amazing how God starts to meet you in those moments. Oh, that we would be those people that prioritize and are sustained by His will. It's not that everything is going to be sunshine and roses, no, but at least we know that we have a Heavenly Father who oversees us, who loves us, and whatever season it is that we're going through, that He will hold us together. Goes on in verse 6, so Jesus, wearied as He was from His journey. Even Jesus had an inconvenient moment. He sent His disciples off to go get food. He sits down at the well just to rest. All of a sudden, a woman comes up and the Holy Spirit nudges Him and says, this is a moment. Even the Son of God can understand what it is to be tired, to be fatigued, to be thinking, but yet was so connected, so obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. I'm wondering even this week, how many times the Holy Spirit is just nudging us to say, hey, reach out to that person. Hey, that person right now that's in the tea room, just say hello. I just want you to connect with whatever it is. I didn't tell this story in the first service, but I used to travel from Bendigo here to Melbourne when I was doing Bible college. So I traveled 2 hours via V-Line from Bendigo to Melbourne, and then an hour from Flinders Street Station all the way out to Dandenong Station. So it was about an hour trip. And I'm sitting on this train one time and I'm asking, Lord, would you break my heart for what breaks yours? Dangerous prayer, mind you. And so I've been in a season of praying this, and I'm sitting down, I've got my headphones in, and I'm just listening and thinking, and this young lady comes and sits directly opposite me. She has one of these, like, it's like a woven knitted thing that wrapped around her middle finger but went all the way up her arm like a sleeve. I'm like, oh, that's a bit strange. Anyway, I get distracted. My stop's only a few stops away, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see her move her sleeve down, and there were all of these scars from what appeared to be her cutting herself. And the moment that I saw it, I felt the heartbeat of heaven fall upon me to the point where I like burst into tears on public transport. How embarrassing. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to just talk to her. So literally, I got up. I said, hey, I don't mean to be weird. I know it's public transport. But I just feel, can I introduce myself? I just want to say hello. And I actually feel like God really loves you deeply. She starts bawling in this moment. She didn't get saved in that moment, but you know what it was? It was a seed. In this same verse, actually in a few verses later in John chapter 4, verses, let's start at 36. It says, already one who reaps is receiving the wages and gathering the fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Listen to this. But there the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap for which you have not labored, and others to labor, and that you have entered into their labor. What's he saying? He's saying that sometimes your part of someone's journey is to sow a seed, is to water a seed, and somebody else will reap the very thing that the Holy Spirit has been working on. Sometimes you're the reaper. You see that salvation. You see that person encounter the Lord. It doesn't matter what part of the season you're in. It's not a competition. It's actually about, God, you sustain me, and I am going to follow your will, your leading, your guiding. In all of this, I think we need to understand that we all have an incredible superpower. And it's not kids' church, it's not Jesus, although it is Jesus. But it's actually your testimony. Your testimony is actually a superpower. It's a weapon against the powers of darkness. Your testimony is your secret weapon against the powers of darkness. For my 40th birthday, my wife got me a voucher to upgrade my driver. And she's a good woman. I'm married well. And I had a driver previous to this. I just bought from the off the shelf. It was great. It was effective. But this experience was something that I just loved. It's the best way I can describe it. I feel like I'm talking about my wife here and I'm talking about a golf club. I love my wife. I enjoy golf. Everything with this golf club is custom made. So I went through a process where they measured my golf swing, they measured the ball speed, they measured everything, and every part of this, from the grip to the tape underneath it, to the shaft, to the head, and the specific type of head, has all been custom made to fit me. So I could actually hand my golf club, my driver, to Layla, and she could probably hit a golf ball with that and it would be effective. But the difference between this golf club being in my hands, it's a different story. Why? Because it's custom made to me. Your testimony is actually custom made to you. It's your testimony of how God invaded your life. Testimonies are powerful, full stop. But here's the thing. You'll never win someone to Christ through an intellectual argument. Because it only takes somebody else with a greater argument to navigate them out of that. But when you start to communicate your personal experience of who Jesus is, oh, there's something tangible that shifts. There's something that changes. Your testimony, your history with the Lord has been tailor-made for moments where God will invade earth, where the King of Glory comes in and interacts and intersects with people that you come into contact with. On Saturday, Pastor Cherie and the team are running Sharing Jesus Confidently. The purpose of that is to equip you with how your testimony is, so that when you get into that moment, you start to communicate about how God changed your life in a way that makes them go, wow, if He did that for you, I wonder what He could do for me. I have a friend named Alex, and he's an incredible man. He started his own fitness business, was kind of a CrossFit dude. And so really, I got to know him, and I joined his gym really as a sense of just building my relationship with him, connecting with him. I loved to kind of do that kind of stuff back then, maybe not so much now, but then. And so we would just go and we'd hang out, we'd talk, we'd chat, and we'd do a workout, and he'd kill me, and then I'd get back up and we'd go again. And one day he came to me and said, "Oh, Dave, look, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you." I'm like, "Oh, I'm glad you asked." I said, "Hey, bro, I've encountered this person called Jesus. I know you've probably heard about him, and that may put a whole range of images in front of you. But could I just encourage you, why don't you come and experience him for yourself? We got church on Sunday. Why don't you just come along? No pressure, just come and sit. Just come and sit, see what it's about." So Sunday, he comes. Now, mind you, during the week, I'm like, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask and I beg that weird Matt would not be at church today. I pray the blood of Jesus to remove him right now, because Alex's soul depends on him not turning up." Why is it that whenever you invite someone that you really value, all of a sudden it feels like it's the weirdest service you've ever been a part of? So literally, I'm sitting on the front row, and he's sitting with a friend of mine near the back, and the lady in front of him in the middle of worship, lets out this blood-curdling cry. Ah! I'm like, Jesus. Why today, of all days? The end of the service comes and I go up to Alex. I said, hey, Alex, how are you going? Tell me what you thought. And with tears streaming down his face, he's going, I don't know what this is, but I need more of this. I said to him, I said, hey, did you hear like the scream that went on? Like it was, everyone there heard it, I thought. He goes, what scream? You see, for many of us, we actually think we have a greater role to play in someone's salvation than we actually do. We get so worried about all the nuances. We try to package it in the right way. We try to get all of the things really good. And I'm all for having a healthy representation of Jesus Christ, believe me. But sometimes I think we actually try to do God's job for him. Jesus said to go into all the world and be my witnesses. What does a witness do? Tells the story of how they encountered Jesus. That's what it is. My life was this way. God encountered me. And all of a sudden, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to talk about it. All I know is that I'm forever different. And every time I feel like the things are going bad, Jesus comes in and saves me. He sets me free. I don't get it right all the time. I mess up. I don't do the right thing. But yet, he's always there. He has never left me. He's never forsaken me. And here's the thing. He will do the exact same thing for you. I actually think the church has made communicating about God a lot more complicated than what it needs to. It's really simple. How did God encounter you? Write it down. Think about the testimonies. We just heard a whole heap of testimonies about how God came and invaded people's worlds. The guy with the leg, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That will be a common occurrence if we just get out of the way and let God be God. I remember this one question I left Alex with, and I just, as I was leaving the gym and inviting him to church on a Sunday, which, side note, for a moment, there are a whole heap of these cards that are going to be at the doors as you leave today, because next week we have Pastor Layla, who's down here. She's going to be preaching all services. We're going to have water baptisms. It's going to be an incredible Sunday. But this is really to invite some people into your world. It's all right, I got more here. Take a few. Like, we got plenty. Your work colleagues, your friends, whoever it is, just say, hey, just come along, and we'll go out for lunch afterwards. We'll go and hang out afterwards. Do whatever it is, just invite them in. Because here's the thing, this is God's house and God knows how to get people's attention. You don't have to worry about it, just bring them in and they're gonna hear a gospel message, and I'm believing that it's gonna totally transform their world. I said to Alex as I'm inviting him to church on Sunday, I said, mate, I said, you've got nothing to lose. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to convince you. Here's just what I say. Why don't you just ask God, hey, God, if you're really real, would you just show yourself to me? Like, if you genuinely want to know who he is, just ask. Because what I've found is that he actually answers that prayer. He desires far more than we can hope, dream, or imagine. Now, if I'm honest, when I ask that question, I'm like, God, you better show up. I've got skin in the game here. He's like, well, I've kind of had skin in the game from the start, bro. But here's the thing, right? Sometimes we just try to meddle with it far too easily. Why don't we stand all over this place? First thing is, I want to invite all of those that maybe you have not really worked through what your testimony even looks like. Can I encourage you, come on Saturday. Come to Sharing Jesus Confidently. We will equip you, give you the resources that you need in order to do that. If I could share one quick testimony from last year when we were doing it here, we went out to the streets afterwards, which, can I be honest, that freaked me out too. And I'm supposed to be a pastor, right? Supposed to be, yeah. Well, I am, but yeah. But I am a pastor and that freaked me out, right? And so me and this other lady, I can't remember her name, we went out and she was like, Dave, can I be honest? I'm really scared. I went, can I be honest? So am I. We walked up Bridge Road and kind of thought, in honesty, I was looking, what's one way that I can do this so that I've ticked the box that doesn't put me right out there? Let's go get a coffee, I suggested. So we go in, we get a coffee, and there's this young gentleman there selling coffee and donuts. And he had a big T-shirt on of a basketball and team in the US. And I said, oh, I've been to that place. Do you play basketball? He goes, yep. We just struck up a conversation. We turn out that he's Greek Orthodox. And I said, have you heard of who Jesus is? Can I just encourage you? He wants to encounter you. Can I just pray for you? Literally, it was about 30-second prayer. And we both walked out of that place and we looked at each other and went, oh, it's that easy. Oh, can I tell you? Oh, it's that easy. Sign up for that.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.